It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week, and it's Horticulture Day, so we're ending the week with some of Iowa's unexpected plant life. Later in the hour, we'll talk about mushrooms in the fall and growing mushrooms, plus some other unexpected horticultural products. But right now, I am standing in Chia Fen, which is in Johnson County, and right next to me is Rebecca Cowton. She is pursuing her PhD at the University of Iowa right now, and she's also a fen enthusiast and expert. When we think about native ecosystems in Iowa, most of us think about the tall grass prairie. The prairie fen is not an ecosystem that many of us know very much about, but Rebecca, you even have one named after you. So tell me about your fen, Becky's fen.
Okay, so the fen we have up in Fayette County is known as Becky's Fen. It was initially discovered by two botanists that were working for the Iowa Department of Natural Resources at the time, still to this day are working there, John Pearson and Mark Leschke. They were doing a study to identify fens in Iowa. They originally had identified about 1,000 locations in Iowa where they were looking for a specific soil type, this Palms Muck 221, I believe, is the code in the soil survey. And this was pre-GIS. They were using hand lenses and paper maps of all soil surveys of every county in Iowa. We have 99 counties. They were planning on this project taking 2 years. It took them 4 years. And they discovered about 1,000 locations in total. From that, they called it down to about 300 that they wanted to visit. And of that, to this day, they would consider our fen to be one of the top 10 as far as the quality of biodiversity on the fen that we have. It's not the largest, but it's certainly one of the most diverse in terms of plant community.
How do you define a prairie fen?
Well, some people think of a fen like a bog, and in some ways they're very similar. Oftentimes it has to do with water. It always has to do with water. But in the case of a fen, it's groundwater fed, whereas a bog is surface water fed. So if you think of the bogs, the cranberry bogs, and the boreal forest area north of here up in the Boundary Waters area and beyond, you've got areas that receive snowmelt and rainfall, and it's usually perched on bedrock. And so the water is contained from whence it came. Whereas with fens, it's groundwater-based, and so we're not always 100% sure exactly what the source is. We know it's coming from somewhere beneath the water table, and the size of the fen, the life expectancy of the fen is really dependent on that groundwater source.
Now, I think about the settlers coming to Iowa and plowing the prairie under and planting their crops and grazing their cattle. I imagine that for the most part, a fen was a problem.
But yeah, it was, a lot of them were drained. You know, getting back to John and Mark's study, when they were looking at, they'd look at soil maps and they'd go out and field verify these sites, and most of them had been drained, tilled, grazed. But the ones that were more resilient, usually it had something to do with that water source.
And this is an ecosystem that you have really fallen in love with, which is why I wanted to come here with you, so you could show me what's so special about this. I mean, we're in a beautiful place, Chia Fen. The sun is going down. There's a field of native grasses. And in front of us, it looks kind of like a pond. But I know it's more complicated than that. So tell me what we're seeing. I mean, first, let's start with the kinds of plants that are sort of telltale signs that we're in a fen.
The plants that we see here, the root systems evolve based on saturation. They like wet feet, basically. And not only that, they like a certain pH. Like if you were to dig up the plants here and take them somewhere else, they probably wouldn't do very well simply because you don't have the same composition of the soil. You don't have the same moisture content. So what we see here, like I said, I'm guessing this is more than likely a sage willow or a close relative, because that's something that we see on our fen. I saw up here something that I think is Riddle's goldenrod. Again, pretty indicative fen species. But I'm very curious to see a couple other things here, because this is actually a nutrient poor fen, where ours is a calcareous fen. So the difference there is the pH level. This is a more acidic fen. So we may or may not see some of the same species. Like we have gentians, we've got four different species of gentians on ours. We've got the nodding ladies' tresses, orchid, you know, you've got the cattails and the bulrushes and sedges and the like. But the ferns here, you know, as we look further down, you've got lots of cordgrass in here. That's definitely a wetter prairie species. But yeah, I'm kind of curious to see as we move around here what else pops up.
All right. Why don't we head down there?
Okay.
All right, we're heading down a fairly steep bank, and I'm... There's a log.
Here, watch your step.
This is an unusual fen because there's actually floating plant life.
There is. There's vegetative mats here, and just the fact that there's standing water, too. You've got a couple fens come in different forms. So you have, our fen is a hilltop fen. So it's very unusual in the sense that you see cattails rising from the hilltop. Whereas this is a lake fen, or a variation of basically, where you've got the standing water in here. But with the pH as it is, you've got some different plant communities. You know, the sedge mats that you have growing in here more than likely aren't touching bottom. That's why we're not going to walk out there that far, because
I don't think there's anything to walk on.
I don't know if we can get that far.
I don't know if you can walk on water, Rebecca.
No.
And you've actually, because you as a child were put to work trying to repair the tiles in your fen before it was identified as a fen, you've actually seen the soil composition,
yes.
Right? So
yes.
What is it like? What do you see?
The profile for ours and for most fens, they usually start with, again, the groundwater source at one point is probably a sandy gravel bed or a seep coming from a hillside. And the conditions are just right that you get a certain type of plant community that starts to grow there. And just over time, you know, the plants come and go, but you don't have that introduction of clay and mineral soil. So when you look at this, you can see the plant material and you can see it decomposing. It looks like something you'd buy at the garden center. There's no sand. There's no clay. You can't ribbon that out to make a clay out of it. It's just a big wet ball. But then you can squeeze the water out and it basically turns to powder, which, yeah, if you're a gardener, it's great stuff. But not necessarily the best for farm ground. I actually did a little experiment with some of the soil this fall from our fen and took home some of the fen soil and took home some of the non-fen soil. And as it dried, the fen soil little ball just shrunk into absolutely. It's probably a quarter the size of the other one, and it's just all of that organic material. So yeah, if you think of your peat pots, when they collapse them down into those little discs, it's no different. It's exactly like that.
But it's not the incredibly fertile soil that Iowa is famous for.
No, just like I said, where we're standing right now is very nutrient poor. So the nutrient levels in here would not grow corn here for various reasons. The nutrient levels, the water levels, you do need a little bit of mineral soil in order to grow crops like that, which this area just genuinely lacks. But yeah, it's got a nice little texture to it. It's got a little bounce. So when you jump on it, it's bouncy and it smells pretty earthy. This one doesn't have quite the rotten egg smell. Ours has a little bit of a rotten egg smell when you get down into the soil when it's under the water. This is still pretty fresh.
I look around here, and this is owned by Johnson County Conservation Board, and it was acquired with the help of the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation. And the description that they give for this land is 80 acres of sand prairie, wetlands, and savanna. And this, as we've talked about before, is a nutrient-poor fen. But when I look around here, I see so much lush growth. And it just really drives home the point that these are species that are growing in this environment that are so specifically evolved to be a part of this environment.
Exactly. They're specialists. They're not going to thrive in other conditions beyond this. And you're not going to find them in other places as a result of that. You know, again, the most common nutrient-poor environments you can think of in this part of the U.S. is your boreal forests. And if you've ever been up north to the boundary waters, you know that is not a biologically void environment. Although it's very nutrient-poor. It's just these plants require other elements in order to thrive. You know, the water that's here, the pH itself, you know, what nutrients that are there that are coming from this decomposing plant material are exactly what these plants need to survive. You know, and it's also, thankfully, in some ways, what keeps some of the other competition away because they can't thrive in those conditions.
These ecosystems were difficult to get rid of, but yet this is an ecosystem that is not particularly well documented and studied, and we're still finding out things about it. Why do you think that is?
Well, when you think about the fact that 30 years ago there were only two people in Iowa that were interested in them, that's a good place to start. And, you know, I asked John recently why, you know, what was the driving force behind the interest, and the previous job he'd held in a different state, they were doing similar research. And so it really started because of work that was being done elsewhere. There really wasn't anybody here who was looking into that. And again, I think it comes back to the function of our landscape over the form. And, you know, when you've only found 300 that are relatively intact, it's a pretty small and subgroup of plant communities. And so just like the plants in the fens being specialists, the people studying them become pretty specialized too. Yeah.
So with 300 fens in Iowa that are relatively intact, most Iowans haven't actually been to those places. And even if they were, they didn't know what they were looking at necessarily. So why come to a fen? What makes this kind of place special to you?
Well, when we host our field day that we have once a year in the fall, what I always get a kick out of is other farmers, maybe from around the area or from other parts of the state, who we go around and I make everybody say their name and where they're from, you know, and what brought you here. And the comment that I always enjoy is somebody saying, well, we had a spot like that. You know, well, do you still? You know, and sometimes they don't know and sometimes they do. But it's always interesting to have people say, oh, you know, I always wondered what that was. You know, that people recall places like that. Oh, yeah, that was the place that the cattle would stay out of. And more times than not, they probably were a fen and they just didn't know it. But to come and see a place like this where the purpose is to appreciate it and understand it and enjoy it versus try to get rid of it, it's really nice to have that as an educational opportunity. You know, being able to come here myself, I'm seeing a completely different community from what I'm used to seeing on our own fen. I get to learn at these too. Yeah.
Rebecca, thank you so much for coming out to Chia Fen in Johnson County with me. This is up near Lisbon. It is a beautiful place. It's almost dark. But thank you so much for sharing this experience with me. And so we should keep our eyes open. There are more fens around.
Absolutely. And this was my pleasure. It's always fun to see a new fen.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. It's Horticulture Day, and we're talking about unexpected plant life in Iowa. We will continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa.